people were bringing little children to Jesus for him to place his hands on them, but the disciples rebuked them. When Jesus saw this, he was indignant. He said to them, "Let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it." And he took the children in his arms, placed his hands on them, and blessed them.
Thanks for that scripture reading, son. I'm so proud of you. It's a really interesting text. I've seen this situation before where there's a bunch of kids around and someone says, "Hey, could you get these kids out of here? They're loud, they're playing around, they're being kind of annoying. Get these kids out of here." And there are places where kids shouldn't be, right? Like many of you at Thanksgiving, you'll probably have the adults table and the kids table. Is that the case at some of y'all's houses? Or some of y'all's places? And the kids table is way more fun. But there's a lot of separation there a lot of times. As the families get bigger, kids go over there. Kids do not come in grandpa style at the old person table. Okay? My kids are too old now, but we used to go to Great Wolf Lodge. How many of y'all been to Great Wolf Lodge? Is that a thing? Yeah, that's kind of a thing for a lot of people, right? And at Great Wolf Lodge, there are kids everywhere, right? Like, you get in the pool and you're like this, and kids are bumping into you and splashing you, and you get in the elevator and there's some kid dressed up like a wizard getting on there with you. You know, they're everywhere. And there's one safe haven, the adults-only pool, where kids can't be. But I know one time I was in my safe haven and someone started bringing a kid into the adults only pool. Now, I normally don't chime in, but I was like, if you bring that kid in here, I will bully them. This is not a place for kids. So there's places where we don't want kids, right? There are some places where we're like, hey, this just isn't a kid place. Do not be in here. Places where kids don't belong, maybe a lot of places. And so we get used to telling kids, oh, get out of here. But Jesus is showing us, hey, there is a place. This might be a place where you think kids don't belong. But they belong here. There's a place for them here. At this point in Jesus' ministry, he is so popular, so beloved, that people want Jesus to bless their kids. Jesus was the type of person you want around your kids. I can't think of any like world leaders or politicians that I want anywhere near my kids. Please do not invest in them. I do not trust you. But this is a real sign of trust. I mean, these people must think a lot of Jesus if they're saying, here, bless my kids. I mean, that is the ultimate sign of trust. They really believe Jesus is someone special. But while this is happening, while all these kids are coming, there's some people who think, yeah, we should get these kids out of there. So this Karen, I mean, these disciples say, get these kids out of here. We don't want these kids here. But Jesus says, no. And he speaks to the value of kids here. He says, let the children come to me. The kingdom of God is for such as these. Yeah, there's places where kids shouldn't be, but God's kingdom is not one of them. There's not just a place for them here, but they're valued here. They're cherished here. We have some things we could learn from kids. So it's not just to be nice to them and let them feel included. It's because they have something for us. They have something to offer us. And this is really, it's a continued theme in Jesus' ministry. The people that are pushed to the margins of society, the people no one cares about, the people that are told, you aren't that important, you aren't that valuable, Jesus just values those people, the sinners and the tax collectors. the Gentiles and Samaritans, and here even the children. Jesus shows they are valuable, they are loved, and they have a place in God's kingdom. Not only do they have a place, but they have something to offer. That's so important. And this is the kind of attitude we need to have with God, the attitude of a child that we talked about in communion. A kid attitude is, it is holy, it is humble, and it is a trusting attitude towards God. Just complete trusting. God, you do it. I'm not going to try to do this myself. I'm not going to say, hey, God, I got it all figured out. I don't need you. I'm going to be like a child and just trust in you. That's the kind of attitude Jesus is encouraging here. And so if you've ever felt like disrespected because of your age, or felt like your voice doesn't matter because maybe you're a kid, and maybe if you're not a kid now, maybe you remember feeling, I remember feeling that way. I remember trying to sit at the adult table once and then being like, yeah, nice try. Go back over there with the kids. But maybe it's some other reason you felt like you've been told you aren't important. What you say shouldn't be heard. What you say doesn't matter. Maybe you felt that way. Maybe it was because your age, or maybe it was your socioeconomic status. Maybe all of us have felt that way at some point. But know that Jesus is saying, hey, you all are valuable. There's a place for everybody here. And you do have something to offer. You do have something to offer the community. I think that's important. So from Jesus, we believe, as did the early church, that children have a special place in God's heart, and thus a special place in God's kingdom. And because of that belief, early Christians, thousands of years ago, were the first people to found orphanages, because they believed even kids that don't have families are still important and still valued. And it was Christians in the Americas who really were the founders of free public education, because they believed children should be invested in. It was Christians who set up laws to protect kids, because Jesus showed that he valued kids. And so we, as a community of faith, also highly value kids. In the early 2000s, the church began to see, the global church began to see a decline. And it really was kind of declining since the 70s, but there seemed to be a big drop-off in the 2000s. A big decline in attendance, and we're still kind of in it. But a big part of a big age group that was leaving was what we call millennials. I know a lot of us don't like to identify as millennials, but we really have a lot here. We really have a lot. Millennials are in their 30s right now. So that's you guys. Yeah, some people are like, oh, am I a millennial? Yeah, if you're in your 30s, if you're pushing 40, you're a millennial. So we got a lot of them here. But the millennials, that's the group that actually fell off a lot. There's been a lot of books, there's been a lot of studies about what are we doing? We've lost this whole generation. What can we do to fix it? And there's not one catch-all answer to figure out why this has happened. There's a lot of things we could do. But one idea that comes up a lot is that the church needs to feel more intergenerational, meaning the different generations, the different age groups need to mix up a little bit more. With the idea being, a lot of young people, they have this great experience in youth ministry, and then they graduate from the youth ministry and they feel like, well, now there's no place for me. Now, I loved youth ministry, but now I don't feel that part. I don't feel connected to a big church. I don't have a place. And if you look, I mean, even us, in a lot of ways, a lot of churches are divided by age group, which is natural, and it makes sense for programming, and you know, you need to give instruction to people on their level, and that's good. But sometimes it gets to the point that we're so divided by age, it doesn't feel like a family. The connection is lost. And so I'd say, Westgate, we're not the best at it, but it is one of our values to bridge the gap and make those intergenerational connections. We want to be an intergenerational church. One of the reasons I was drawn to Westgate years ago was that they had this intergenerational value. They really loved their kids. They really valued them. They really valued them being included. And this is still a value today. But I could see that kids weren't just something that was to be seen and not heard. We don't have that attitude here. The auditorium wasn't just a place where kids are spanked and told to be quiet. Because that's kind of what I grew up with. We have the Sunday where we let the boys lead service. That's so empowering. We had at the time it was the give a goat bucket. Now it's the blessing box to show kids. And one of our kids up here said it. Like, we like to serve, to let the kids have an opportunity to serve. I remember Rodney making it clear that, hey, loud kids in here, that's fine. That's a sign of life. We can have that here. But we have things like the children's Christmas program, the baby blessing, all these things that show this is a church that values and celebrates children. And something I've been telling our new members is the church Christmas program, it's not just a horse and pony show for the parents to come to. This is something where we're investing in our kids, we're valuing our kids, and the whole congregation comes. Even if you don't have a kid or a grandkid in there, the whole congregation comes because we want to support these kids and these families. The silent auction is something that's been a tradition now for a while, but it's a great example of how this congregation supports our youth ministry students. Not just by saying it, not just by saying good job, but by investing in them, donating to them, but also entrusting the kids to babysit our kids, entrusting the kids to mow your lawns. And those are neat ways to make additional connections. So I love the silent auction. It's one of those things as we talk about traditions and traditions losing kind of their meaning. That's one that if we just had all the money in the world, I would still want to do because of all the connections made through the auction and how it communicates a value to the students. Because we believe that when our kids feel connected to and supported by the entire church, not just their youth minister, not just youth ministry volunteers, but the whole church and the wider congregation, they're more likely to stay faithful to God and the church when they're not just connected to the youth ministry, but the whole church. And the way that kids are raised up here, it is reflective of who our kids are at school and who our kids are on their athletic teams. It seems like any time I go and watch these kids play sports, cross country or basketball, volleyball, football, before the game, when the team's huddled up, they'll say a prayer. And you know who's leading those prayers? Westgate kids. I've seen both of my kids. I've seen Paxton and Layla do it. I've seen Jackson lead the prayer on the football field. Maylee, Kaylin. It's our kids leading those prayers. Does that not make you proud? That's the kind of church we are. It makes me so proud. We love supporting their athletic prowess. We got some great athletes. But we are far more proud that our kids are being the spiritual leaders on their teams. That's a big deal. It takes boldness to speak up, to be a leader on a team. But to be the one who says the prayers, to be the spiritual leader, that is a big deal. But they came from a church and families that believe in them, provides opportunities for them, and has high expectations of them. So in a way, I would say we expect nothing less. Also important to note, Westgate understands that it's not just the church's job to spiritually form their kids. We don't have this attitude that's like, hey, Clay, here's my kids. Would you fix them? We know that we as a community all take part in their spiritual formation. But it seems that there's this general idea that we understand that the parent is the first minister. But I also want to preface that with saying one of my problems with family churches and churches that are real big on family is that sometimes in the youth ministry, and it's always been the case here, there are students whose family members don't attend church here. And so we also want to make space for them as well to say, like, hey, we want to invest in you. And we know that not every family looks the same. And so we want to make space for that. So we don't want to overemphasize family too much at the neglect of some other things. Because we have a lot of students even here today whose parents aren't here, and we're just so glad they're on Sunday morning too. They got up early. Good for them. We're proud of stuff like that. But really, I should also say this just while I'm speaking to the kids at Westgate. We've had a lot of overachievers over here over the years. I mean, exceeding our expectations. We've had several graduate at the top of their class. And after talking a little bit with Doreen, sounds like we can expect the same from a lot of our new members. We got overachievers over at Willis that are coming over here now, too. So this is an exciting time. And I think, again, another one of those things where I look at what's going on, what happened at Willis, and what's going on here, and what a nice fit this is. I think a lot of times, though, when we talk about intergenerational stuff, we can almost overemphasize youth. We kind of err young. And to me, if we're just celebrating young people all the time and that's it, that's not totally intergenerational. That's just celebrating young people. And that's kind of the way our world is going, right? And our obsession with the new and with image, we're really overvaluing youth. In 2023, $47 billion were spent on anti-aging products. We are obsessed with looking young and obsessed with airing young. Seems like no one respects age or wants to be old, right? When my kids sometimes call me old. And when they do, they usually don't mean it in a nice way. Dad, you're so old and wise. Yeah, that's not what they're saying. But if we're honest, most of our churches for a long time have erred old. We've kind of favored the old. We did whatever the old people wanted, and the old people ran this. And that's changing a little bit. But we don't want there to be a total changing of the guard, right? I like to think we don't overemphasize youth at the expense of our old folks. And you know who you are, old folks. I know sometimes old is a bad word, but listen, we love our old people, okay? Just going to use the word. I think Westgate is a place that really does honor the wisdom of our elderly. We appreciate who they are, what they've been, what they've handed down, we know that they've seen a lot of change. They have a lot of wisdom and knowledge to share. And really, in the world Jesus was in 2,000 years ago, they respected age. They respected the older prophets were kind of the best prophets, the most accurate. Age was respected. So that's why you see Jesus maybe over here valuing kids, because that was the group that was kind of kicked to the side. That was the one that kind of needed the special attention. But we don't want to give them all the special attention at the expense of another group. We set aside our Valentine's luncheon to honor our, we call them golden agers. But if you think about it, what we really mean is the old people. But we set aside, we put all them together with the students. And this is a tradition I've seen at a lot of churches. A lot of churches do that. They have a Valentine's luncheon where they have the elderly in the congregation and the youth group get together. But it is a very fun event. We call our April retreat the all-church retreat. And we're very selective about that because sometimes we're tempted to call it the family retreat. But it always kind of gets corrected. And I think this is important because if we call it family retreat, there might be this connotation that, look, this is only for happy married couples with 2.5 kids. And we want people to know, no, this is for empty nesters. We would love to have you here. We would love your wisdom. We would love you. This is for single people. This is where we've had kids come that their families don't go here. This is for all the church. We're not targeting one age group or one demographic. This is for everybody. So really, there will be times in meetings with deacons and with elders where we're talking. We want to make sure that our kids feel included, but we also want to make sure that our longtime, our older members feel included as well. One thing that I think is really neat is that several of our younger families pick up and take some of our older members to church. It's really a cool thing. At Dorothy Emerson's funeral, sweet Dorothy Emerson, Claire Archie got a shout out from the family because they knew this is a church where they're picking her up and bringing her to church. They're picking her up and bringing her to ladies' Bible class. That's what being intergenerational looks like. And that's not about little kids. I think our millennials here, like Claire Archie, our millennials here feel connected with some of our older members here. And that's a special thing. I know the Cheneys used to pick up Miss Pat, and now oftentimes they'll get Miss Nell. I know that Caleb Cheney, where's he at? Caleb Cheney, a 16-year-old boy, has picked up Nell and taken her to church. 17. Thank you, son. But isn't that cool? Isn't that? I mean, I don't know many other places where something like that would happen. I don't know. When you pick her up, I don't know. You're like, all right, Miss Nell's getting in the car. I'm gonna set the playlist right. Put on some Dre. And then I'm thinking maybe did Alyssa get you this morning? No, did that happen? No, not this time. But I think that's a really cool thing. The way that we will invest in our. Nell's not old. But we want to invest in these people. We want to pick them up. We want to help them out. This is a cool church. I'm proud of a church like that. I'm proud that we have people like this. And, I saw this was a value at Willis, too. Whenever I preached over there, I was visiting with Jerry Drennan, and Whitney came up. Whitney is a millennial. And she was talking about getting together, because Jerry's her teammate at 42 Dominoes. They get together and play dominoes with the group. I was like, well, that's very intergenerational. That's really cool. And so, again, I really think there's some similar values that were at Willis that have been brought over here that just fit in so nicely. This is a church that we don't just love the young people. We don't just celebrate the young people. We want to celebrate, the people who've gone on before us, the people who've been there and done that. We want to learn from them. We want to invest in them. We want to value them. And maybe we're not always the best at either of these things. There's always room for growth. But these are values that are intentional, that are in our mind, that are set in front of us, that we work towards. But this morning, I want you to know, we have a God who values all people, regardless of age. And we want to follow in those footsteps. There's no one who's too young or too old to be part of this church. No one too uneducated or overeducated to offer something to this church. No Christian too new to not be able to find a place here. I hope that we can continue to work to be a place that connects the different age groups. And I hope that benefits our young people and they want to stay and continue to be part of God's kingdom here at Westgate. I hope that we can see people as Jesus does, not as people to be silenced and sent away, but as people to be welcomed and blessed. If you would like to be welcomed and blessed into the family of God this morning, or if you need any prayers, we invite you to come now as together we stand and sing.